Good morning, everybody. That was kind of weak. We'll try again. Good morning, everybody. All right, much better. Hey, it is great to see you in church today. We're super glad that you're here. As you can tell by the video that we just showed, we're continuing our series this morning on boundaries. Now, let's look at our theme verse that we have been considering during this series. Here it is, Proverbs 29 and verse number 18. When people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. But whoever obeys the law is joyful. Say joyful. That's the idea. We're trying to get joy to your life, to your heart, to your family. And so that's what it's been about. Now, here's our big idea. You'll see it there in your notes as well. God provides boundaries for us in both his commandments and our convictions to provide for us and to protect us. So you see there that there is an idea in mind. There's a direction that we're headed in. And today, I'm glad that you're here because we're going to focus on social media boundaries. I heard a woohoo and I heard a oh my. Yikes. We'll see which one we end up feeling here today in just a few minutes, right? Well, my name's Tim Davis, and actually I did have a name tag on earlier. I have lost it. So if you see somebody walking around the church with a name tag that says Tim Davis, that's not them. That's my name tag. I lost it. But I'm the Connections pastor here at Grace, and I'll just tell you, I am so thankful that God has placed me in this role. In fact, I think that he's just kind of wired me in a way where I feel purpose when I'm talking to people and interacting with them one-on-one, you know? When I'm just hanging out with you guys, I really feel purpose. Whether it's in the hub or maybe in the growth track class or wherever you and I have had a chance to interact together, I really feel purpose during those times. Maybe it's out at the information tent and that's where we met. Some other opportunity maybe. But anyway, hey, if I haven't had a chance to connect with you yet, I want to. So staying with the theme of today's message, why don't you friend request me on Facebook after church is over? You can actually follow me on Twitter at TimDavis91. You can at TimDavis91. Or you can email me at tdavis@graceassembly.org. I'd love to connect with you, all right? Now, in the last few weeks, Pastor Wayne has been communicating on Wednesday nights and also in our staff meetings about an experience that he recently had where he was made aware again of the foundational need that we all have to be needed and known. Now, I think that all of us have this desire to belong and to be wanted. It's the way we're wired. It's how God put us together. And those feelings give us purpose and a sense of community. And I think that is really what has fueled and propelled the social media craze of our culture, all right? Now, let's make this clear up front. We want to get something out of the way, and some of you are a little nervous. I see you fidgeting in your chair, so let me just say this right up front. I didn't come out here this morning to boycott social media. I didn't come out here to veto your use of social media, you know? Hey, like I said, it can actually help us to feel needed and known and to find purpose, right? It can help us to get to church on time when daylight savings time kicks in. Yeah, that's exactly right. So it can be very, very helpful, that's for sure. Now, technology has created a culture in which all of us are bombarded by hundreds of social media platforms, right? When we use appropriately, though, and with boundaries, these tools can help us to stay connected with each other really, really well and honor a Bible principle, community. God has called us to community, so it's important that we do that. In fact, we have a young adult Facebook page. It helps us to let people know that they need to be in small groups tonight. Right? Hey, it helps our volunteers. Our volunteers have a Facebook page, and they're able to connect together, talk together, and it's very, very helpful. Hey, how many of you know missionaries are on Facebook? You just heard it today in the video. It's great to have the Hansons with us, and you can connect with missionaries on Facebook. Grace has a Facebook page. It's just a great, great opportunity to connect us and, again, honor that Bible principle. I want you to think about this for a second, in fact. You can be friends on Facebook. You can snap on Snapchat. You can tweet on Twitter. You can heart on Instagram. You can pin on Pinterest. You can link on LinkedIn. You can reblog on Tumblr. You can on Mumbler. You can suggest on Netflix. You can subscribe to someone's YouTube channel, right? You can share your playlist on Spotify this morning, and the list goes on and on and on and on and on, right? Now, there's no question that social media has had a huge impact on our lives. How many of you, you see, you know, that we can portray ourselves in a very specific way or a certain way? And maybe some of you, though, are sitting out here and you're like, you know what? I have no idea what social media is. It's just not a bother for me. Let me just get a show of hands. How many of you have some type of social media that you use? Let me see your hand. Yeah, all right. 99.9% probably, all right? Hey, for those of you who don't, though, let me introduce you to the virtual life.
Time to check my social media,
to see who loves me online.
Hashtag blessed life. Time to post a pic with an inspirational quote.
It's deep and we'll get live.
No Wi-Fi.
Oh no, I'll die.
Where's my phone?
It gives me life.
Every day we get on the internet and talk through our screens to everyone. When words fail, we speak through emojis and memes. We follow Tay Tay and Kim Kardashian.
When I'm not on fleek and feeling basic, and my FOMO leaves me with no chill, I know my Snapchat squad will make me say yes, God. The World Wide Web is bae for real.
It's the virtual life, and it fools us all. We compare and scroll, so we'll measure.
So now you know, right? Maybe you were laughing this morning because you saw yourself, a little bit of yourself, or maybe someone else, you know, that you know in the video today. But really, it does bring an interesting question, right? What has led us to the point in this life that somehow we need to notify the world what we're feeling, where we are, what we're eating, and who's with us at every moment of every day, every second, right? Could it be, though, when we really boil it all down, do you think that maybe the satisfaction that we're craving from social media may or might be actually bringing us dissatisfaction? I want you to think about this with me. Dr. Tim Elmore, he outlines four descriptions of social media's impact on its users. Now, Dr. Elmore was with us a couple of years ago for Back to School Sunday. He gives us four words that really kind of help us to see the impact on social media in our culture today. The first word he uses is instant. You see, social media teaches us instant gratification, doesn't it? We expect an immediate response to our text, our email, our post, whatever it may be. And instant gratification can be very satisfying, that's for sure. But it can also be very frustrating. Because how many of you know some of life's experiences are actually a process? We learn them over a period of time. They don't come automatic. It's not self-gratification. So instant gratification keeps us from learning contentment. We need contentment. The second word he says is constant. There is no relief for the barrage of messages that we receive, right? And think about it. We allow ourselves to be connected, most of us, 24/7 to texting, phone, email, social media, and all kinds of other online noise. Get this. Look at these statistics with me. 58% of people do not go one waking hour without checking their phone. Not even an hour. That's almost 60% of our world. Check this next one out. 84% fear going one day without their phone. 84%. In fact, this fear is very, very real. This fear has now become an official disorder and is being diagnosed by health professionals. It's known as nomophobia. It's the fear of being disconnected from your mobile device. Yeah. And it's real. People are receiving counseling and getting prescriptions to help them with nomophobia. It's true. Dr. Elmore continues with his list here. The third one is resistant. You say, how can social media be resistant? Well, it diminishes our capacity for healthy, deep relationships. When we manipulate and manage what others know about us, the best really that we can hope for is an artificial intimacy. Technology has offered us the opportunity then to be connected with more people ever in history. And yet, we are more lonely and more depressed than any time in history. The final word that Dr. Elmore brings to us is insistent. Social media actually coerces us to feel like we must read and reply. There's no option, right? In fact, it's literally addictive. Dr. Susan Wycheck in Psychology Today writes in an article, Why We're All Addicted to Texts, Twitter, and Google. Now, the doctor says that there's a chemical that our brain actually produces called dopamine, okay? Now, it's critical in all sorts of brain functions, including thinking, moving, sleeping, mood, attention, motivation, seeking, and reward. Now, the question is, a lot of studies have been conducted here to find out specifically what triggers our brain to give us a dose of this dopamine, all right? And best-selling author Simon Sinek, you may have actually seen his video on Facebook. It's been rotating. I've seen it running through some of your Facebook pages. But Simon Sinek lists, all right, these things that trigger a dose of dopamine. You'll be surprised. Four things. Get this. Alcohol, nicotine, gambling, and number four, social media. Four things trigger dopamine into our brain, and it actually becomes an addictive behavior. Now, get this. Social media is the only one of the items on the list that doesn't have a legal boundary attached to it. All these other three have received boundaries that are put on us by legal authorities. Wow. Think about it. And we're letting our kids have it free and with no chaperoning. God help us. Think about this. Experts are beginning to see issues more and more as social media use grows. Now, I want you to check out this video about what now is being called likes anxiety.
Tonight, social media anxiety and the pressure to be liked by getting likes on what our young people post online. NBC's Rahema Ellis has this report.
For many kids, life is often lived inside their phone, on Snapchat, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram.
I check my phone a lot.
Probably very excessive.
I do use it a lot.
As 14-year-old best friends, Kiara, Zainab, and Patty are like teens of every generation, eager to socialize, fit in, be accepted. But in a digital age, experts say, social media can sometimes cause likes anxiety based on how many people like a post.
I do feel as if the more likes I get, the happier I will be.
Of the 92% of teens who say they go online daily, a quarter of them are connected almost constantly. Teens on Facebook average 150 friends, on Instagram, 100 friends. Experts say that's a lot of social pressure, a lot of voices liking or not liking.
Who doesn't like to get likes, you know? We've all been handed these devices without education, and I like to equate it to throwing a child in a pool without any swimming lessons.
Sometimes what they see online can hurt. It's called FOMO, fear of missing out.
sometimes I do have FOMO because, like, sometimes I won't get invited to something and my friends will start posting it on social media and then I'll, like, be, like, upset that I wasn't invited.
Experts say it's important for parents to set boundaries.
For parents, do not lose your moral compass. Do not lose your parental authority. Do not cave.
You have to be in their head. You have to, your kids have to think about the things you taught them.
These teens don't let social media define them.
I also like to see my friends in person and kind of have that sort of social face-to-face.
Some people are going to like it. Some people are not. Just, we have to deal with it.
Best friends online, but careful to stay connected to the real world. Rahima Ellis, NBC News, Roslyn, New York.
All right, so although this specific report talks about kids, I hope that you can see how important it is and that we all understand that we all need social media boundaries, right? Now, as parents, one of the things that Pastor Andrew and Pastor Ryan has put together for us, as you leave today, you're going to receive a handout and front and back. It's going to have recommendations for what you can do as a parent with your children, whether they be an elementary, middle school, or high school student. And so you'll get that as you leave today as a handout. And so be sure and tell Pastor Andrew, Pastor Ryan, you appreciate that so much. Now, let's look at what God says, his commandments, to help in counteracting the negative impact that social media can create, all right? Let's start out in Ecclesiastes chapter 6 and verse number 9. Let's look at this verse. It says, enjoy what you have rather than desiring what you don't have. Just dreaming about nice things is meaningless, like chasing the wind. So I believe Solomon here is trying to let us know that, hey, you're living in a selfie-centered world. We must learn contentment. How many of you know that when he penned these words, he knew what was going to come? You know that we are messed up, so we have to learn contentment in this life. Jeremiah keeps us going here. He says, this is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. We live in a world that bombards us with online noise. All right? That's our culture. So we need to find rest in God's presence. We need to find soul rest in the very presence of God. Let's look at 1 John chapter 3, verse 18. Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by your actions. So the idea here is that love is action. You do not communicate compassion by a like. Liking something is not a love action. That's not what John is talking about here. He says that your love is communicated by your actions. Let's keep going. 2 John. 2 John chapter 1, verse 12. I have much to write to you, but I do not want to use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to visit you and talk with you face to face, so that our joy may be complete. We need to seek face-to-face interaction. That's where joy comes from, right? Now, to avoid the negative impact of social media and to honor God's commands that we just read together, it's important for us to choose to put practical boundaries in place. All right? That's going to help. And again, we're talking about practical convictions. These are not in the Bible, but based on the impact of social media and what we read in God's word, we choose to set up these convictions, okay? Now, to try to get you to help you understand what I mean, how many of you have ever suffered from an allergy? Let me see your hand. Allergies in the house? Yeah, okay, everywhere. How many of you have ever had a peanut allergy? Let me see your hand. Few people, not many. How many of you have ever had milk allergy? Anybody milk allergy? Oh, yeah, all over the place. How many of you are allergic to pollen? Let me see. Oh, yeah. My eyes are watering and my nose is running just thinking about it right now. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, allergies. But you know what? You can be lactose intolerant and still drink the milk. Now, there'll be consequences to pay later. Are you with me? You see, the same is true with this stuff we're talking about this morning. You don't have to put boundaries in your life, but you'll suffer the consequences later. And so it's important for us to choose to put these things into our life. Now, did you know that Americans devote 10 hours a day to screen time? Now, this isn't Pastor Tim just saying this. In fact, CNN did a study in July of last year, 2016, and they come to the conclusion the average American is has screen time 10 hours a day. 10 hours every day. Think about that. Friend, listen, that's not healthy. It's way out of balance, right? We can't expect, we can't accept that excessive number. It's not good. So we need to replace that time with healthy activity. So that's boundary number one. I choose to think substitutes. It is very important, especially if our starting point is excessive social media use. This one's really important. If we're thinking substitutes, then we'll create a list of healthy activities to replace or substitute in the times that we are normally online or using social media. Are you following me? So we need to create a list of things that we can do in those times that otherwise we would be online or on social media. What are a couple suggestions? I'm glad you asked. First off, family activity. How many of you know your family should be together, doing more stuff together, interacting face-to-face, right? So family activities. You can play a game. You can go for a walk. You can read. You can do any activity together as a family. And your kids are going to say thank you when they're 20. They will not say thank you when you tell them to put their phone down, but they'll say thank you when they're 20. In fact, you know what? When my kids come home for the holidays now, guess what we do? We play aggravation. Hey, they're adults, but they still want to play. Hey, you want to play aggravation? Because they know I'm going to stomp on them and win the game. But we still do those family activities together, and we do them as a substitute to being online. Put them in those same times. Also, you can do a spiritual activity, right? You can listen to the word, read the Bible. You know, you can catch up on your one-year Bible reading. Those of you that are behind, catch up on your one-year Bible reading. How about worship music? Put on some worship music. Get involved in worshiping the Lord. Begin to just run through your mind all the blessings that God has given you. Begin to list them and call them out to the Lord and give him thanks for it. You can listen to preaching and teaching. We heard about our missionaries today that listen to Grace. Isn't that awesome? That's good. That's good stuff. You can do a spiritual activity in replacing that time that you were online. Now, obviously, this is going to take some creativity. It's going to take a little time for you to create that list, but it will be well worth it as you choose to substitute. Number two, I choose to create accountability. Now, this is important. Decide that someone else will see what you see. Decide that someone else will see what you see. What do you mean, Pastor Tim? Well, you need to share passwords. You need to make sure someone else has access to your accounts. And then you need to make sure that there's a time that you can set with them and review where you've been. So somebody needs to be able to see your path, where you've been online, right? I can tell you today that Angie and I have each other's passwords to our cell phones, to social media accounts, to email accounts, everything. We have no secret accounts, and you shouldn't either. You shouldn't either. We should choose to create accountability, and it's getting quiet, and I know I'm preaching good. Creating accountability also means setting parameters for interaction on social media. You see, this is what I'm trying to say here. The more private the mode of communication, the more accountability there should be on that communication. You following me? A public post is different than a private message. And so a private message should have more accountability. So I choose not to private message in certain situations. I just don't. I choose not to because I'm creating accountability in my life. We want to avoid even the appearance of evil, the Bible challenges us to do, right? So we can't allow social media to fuel temptations. So we create accountability that keeps us free from destruction. Some of you know temptation will destroy you. Now, if you or someone you know presently struggles in this area, I want to encourage you. There are actually filters that you can put on your media accounts. There's one that I have worked with several people with. It's called CovenantEyes.com. CovenantEyes.com. It is very, very effective in helping you. If you need help, friend, listen to me. There's nothing wrong with needing the help. What's wrong is continuing to need the help from today forward. Amen? CovenantEyes.com. Now, it will cost you a little bit of money, but it will not cost you near as much as that addiction will if you stay there. All right? Create accountability. Number three, I choose to set limits. Here's the deal. The very real truth is all of us need to limit our time online. We need to limit your online time. Decide ahead how much time each day that you're gonna be online and then stick to it, all right? Now, let me help you with a time to make that decision. Or maybe more of it's a time not to make that decision. Don't try to set the time while you're scrolling on Facebook. I'm going to think about how much time I should spend, you know, on the internet. 45 minutes goes by and, you know, you've spent 45 minutes already, right? So don't choose that time to make this decision or to set up that time frame. But do get help. Maybe even get help from friends or a mentor about what's realistic for you and the time frame to set to be online. Also, set specific no media times in your day, right? Maybe it's mealtime. Maybe you decide during mealtime that there's not going to be any media at our dinner table. We're going to look eyeball to eyeball, and we're going to eat this food, right? And I'm not going to see you eating your spinach with your phone in your face, right? I'm going to see you eating eyeball to eyeball, and we're going to be able to talk together. So maybe it's during mealtime. What about when everybody first gets home in the afternoon or the evening? You know, when you first come home, that might be a good time to say, you know what, for the first 30 minutes that everybody's home, no media. We're actually going to connect. Or maybe it's 15 minutes. I'm just throwing out some suggestions here that might be able to help you. But maybe that time right there when everybody gets home, no media. Or maybe it's just before bed. Maybe you decide that, you know, 30 minutes or an hour, whatever, before bed, no media. Or maybe it's, you know, hey, we're not taking our phone to bed with us. We're going to put all of the phones in the same area. We'll charge them, put them on the chargers. This is where phones go. No phones in bed. That might help. Listen, here's the deal. Think through your day and set up no media segments of time throughout your day that will help you, okay? Now, some other options that might help you to set limits. I remember during our 21 days of fasting time in January, heard of many people were fasting media during these 21 days. I would encourage you, set times throughout the year and decide, you know what, I'm gonna fast media. Maybe that's one day, maybe that's 3 days, maybe like many of you did during that fast time, it was 21 days without any media. All right. One of the things that might help you to be successful in that is during those times, or maybe during times that you're just trying to cut back, remove the social media apps from your phone. So that way, the only time that you're in front of social media is when you're at the computer, is when you're actually at the computer. So it's not on your phone anymore. Are you following me? Are you with me? So set limits. Number four, I choose to be intentional about face-to-face relationships. Now, this is super important, so listen. We need to use social media to facilitate, not replace, real relationships, all right? We need to be intentional about being face-to-face. It's important. Now, let's go back to our scripture from 2 John, because I want you to see this again. It's really good. He says, I have much to write to you, but I do not want to use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to visit you and talk with you face to face so that our joy may be complete. Now get this. Paper and ink was the communication piece of that day, right? In John's day. It was the social media, so to speak. So if John was writing today, he might say, well, I wanted to Facebook post you. I wanted to tweet you on Twitter. But John wasn't looking for his readers to compare letters or to compete with one another, right? His goal was that their joy be complete. And because that was his goal, then he chose face-to-face communication. Can I tell you that face-to-face communication is powerful? It is the power of presence that produces complete joy. Are you following me? Now, Facebook, here's the deal. Why do you think that we encourage people all the time to be in Growth Track, to attend small group tonight at 6 o'clock, to be involved on a ministry team and serve others in some capacity? Because face-to-face communication is powerful. Friends, we need to involve ourselves and intentionally be involved in real relationships. Because if we don't, it'll just be artificial intimacy, right? There'll be no friendships. And so it's important for us to grasp a hold of this. So we encourage you, participate in Growth Track. Be in a small group. get involved somewhere at Grace in ministry, because that need that God put within us for community is not satisfied by social media. The power of presence is what produces joy. All right, so Facebook has revolutionized the term friend, hasn't it? I mean, at one time in our history, the term friend meant something totally different than what it means today. True? Online interaction has created the opportunity, again, for this, what's been called artificial intimacy. Now, what this does is produce relationships that are shallow and superficial at best. Think about it. We get to portray how other people see us. Unfortunately, if we're not careful, then we'll no longer have even the capacity for a real relationship. We won't have the ability for a deep relationship. Healthy relationships take time to develop. Strong relationships are learned and lived, not just listed and liked. Are you with me? And so I have a question for you. How many of you, you have a best friend? Yeah, I'll be honest with you. There was a day when I had asked that question that the entire room would have lifted their hand. The entire room. Why? Friend, we are straying away from the capability of having deep relationships. Have you ever had a best friend, a relationship that's so deep, so strong, that it brings rewards to your life? That you actually get to enjoy that interaction together, and that just hanging out with them brings you joy? Those are the relationships that we need to have, and they only happen face-to-face. The power of presence produces joy. Amen? All right, let's keep going. One more. I choose to focus on a healthy purpose for social media. I choose to focus on a healthy purpose for social media. Now, the question might come up, you know, well, what's a healthy purpose, Pastor Tim? Well, I think that can kind of vary really individually from case to case, but that there are some practical points that can help us. So let's take a look at a few. When I focus on a healthy purpose, it gives me permission to not be social media friends with everyone who requests it. It's okay to say no to a friend request. It does not mean you're not a Christian if you click no. Are you with me? In fact, we need to ask ourselves this question. If I say yes, is it opening the door to something destructive? Are you following me? See, some of you too, you find yourself even today with a friend or someone, you having a friend that has become destructive on Facebook. And you think it's not nice to unfollow them. Friend, can I tell you, you can still be saved and unfollow somebody. So I want to encourage you. Remember that social media needs to have a healthy purpose, all right? And if it doesn't, you need to delete some stuff. It's okay. Let's keep going. When I focus on a healthy purpose, I turn my virtual other cheek to posts that offend me, and I refuse to not respond, or I refuse to respond with an emotional outburst. Do not allow yourself to get caught up in name-calling, bullying, and shouting down the opposition in all caps. Just don't do it. Don't get involved in meaningless online quarrels. It's not advantageous for anybody. I want you to think twice before you allow yourself to get caught up in a social media debate, especially when the originating post is obviously just baiting responses. You know what I'm talking about? People will put a post on there and all they want to do is to get 173 comments. And they know how to do it. Right? And what do? We fall into the trap. We take the bait. Romans 12:18 says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. With everyone. We need to follow the scriptures. Now, does that mean that we be silent and we hide holding the truth? No way. It means, though, that there are times that we stand up for what's right, but we're careful with how we share that truth. Are you following me? All right. Now, when I focus on a healthy purpose for social media, I do not post private or harmful information about my family, my friends, or my spouse. We need to keep private matters private. Amen. It is important to remember that even though you might edit or delete your post later, once it's out there, damage has been done. Are you with me? It's like driving a nail into the wall and then running over and pulling the nail out. Well, it's still going to leave a mark. Are you with me? It's still going to leave a mark. Often there's a permanent element to digital communication. So focus on the purpose, because you don't always have to publicize every thought you have of every moment of every day. It's okay not to push post. You with me? In fact, Solomon understood. Look what he says in Proverbs chapter 10, verse number 19. Too much talk leads to sin. Be sensible and keep your mouth shut. Amen. Amen. When I focus on a healthy purpose, I choose to remain pure. Refuse to send or receive any snaps, any images, any messages that would cause you or someone else to fall into sin. Somehow we've bought into this that private means pure. Friend, private does not mean pure. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 28, Jesus says, anyone who even looks at a woman, or a man, I might add, with lust, has already committed adultery with them in their heart. What are you saying, Pastor Tim? Let me help you. Guard your heart. Guard your heart and stay pure. Amen? Now, a clear grasp of a healthy purpose for social media keeps me from being selfie-centered and basing my identity on social media interaction. Listen to the last one. Listen real close. Now, I know for some of you, this is totally going to just send you into shock. So some of you get ready to catch that person next to you when they pass out. All right? Are you ready? Are you ready? Not everything you read or see on social media actually is a true depiction of reality. On social media, I look 135. Not so much up here. Because that's the weight that's on my driver's license. But you know, it is dangerous, because often it's too easy to fall into that trap of comparison, isn't it? Without boundaries, we start comparing our homes, our marriages, our children, our vacations, our friendships, our experiences, and life itself. And listen to me, the more we compare, the more we're unsatisfied. The more we're unsatisfied. And so we have to kill comparisons and find contentment in who and where God has made us and placed us. I'm grateful this morning that I've been bought with a price, the blood of Jesus Christ. I belong to God. It doesn't matter what people say about me on Facebook. It only matters what God says about me. We need to set these practical boundaries in our life, and if we will, it will keep us from a whole lot of trouble. Amen. As I close this morning, I want you to think about what it would be like if everyone had social media boundaries. We could have a healthy self-image and identity, convinced of who we are in Christ, amen, just like we talked about. We could have stronger, healthier relationships that bring complete joy to our lives. Social media could be a place where the gospel is communicated in an authentic way, where we're making Jesus famous across the world. I don't think it's an accident that the Hansons are here today. I think God put this together. We want to make Jesus famous all around the world, and God has given us a tool to be able to do it. And yet the enemy has come and tried to make something bad of something good, and perverted it. I believe if we'll put boundaries in place, God will help us. Followers of Christ could use social media to encourage others. We could truly be bound together in community all around the world, encouraging each other, building one another up. Amen. You see, Pastor Tim, how can we do it in light of what we just saw on the screen, in light of nomophobia, all this stuff going on? How can we do it? We can succeed at social media boundaries through Christ that gives us strength. We can do it. Today, I want to close the service. I want to pray for a couple of groups of people. So I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes with me all across the place, if you would, please. As I was preparing for this message, I really felt like the Holy Spirit put in my heart that there would be people here today, and you're sitting here in pain because you've been wounded, you've been injured, you have believed a lie, and you are sitting here with the pain of insecurity because of something that happened on social media, something that was said about you or to you. Some of you may be here today and you've suffered a broken relationship because of what your spouse failed to set up on social media. Today, some of you are sitting here and you need Jesus to heal you. I'm glad to tell you that he can. I believe that you can leave this room full of hope. You can leave this room separated from the heaviness of that hurt. And so if you're here this morning, heads are bowed, eyes are closed all across this place, and you'd say, you know what, Pastor Tim, would you include me in that prayer? I need Jesus to heal me. I don't want to find my identity in Facebook. I want to find my identity today in Jesus Christ. If that's you, and you want to be included in this prayer, real quick, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, slip up your hand real fast and put it right back down. God bless you. God bless you. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. About 17 hands probably lifted. We're going to pray that God would move across this place right now and bring healing to your heart. Father, we thank you for the hope that we have in you. We're grateful today that you are our healer, that you restore everything that the enemy has stolen. Lord, I pray that you would move across this room right now and bring healing to hearts that are hurting. I pray, Lord, that there would be a confidence that would capture people's heart today. Lord, not in themselves, but in you, Christ Jesus, our Savior and our Lord. And I ask, oh God, that there'd be hope for a future. Lord, as you restore lives that have been broken, Lord, I'm asking you in this moment right now, let healing flow. Thank you, Lord, that not only do you heal cancer, you heal emotions, and you're healing people in the name of Jesus Christ. I thank you for hearing our prayer, for answering it today, and healing these lives in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. If you believe the Lord heals, will you put your hands together? Give him praise today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. There's one more group that I want to pray for today. If you're here today and you'd say, you know what, Pastor Tim, I understand that I'm not going to read about these convictions in the Bible, but I want to make a commitment today to evaluate my screen time, to evaluate the time I spend on social media, to evaluate the things that I post on social media. And I want to make a commitment that I'm going to look back over these convictions and that I'm going to choose to do is put some of these convictions in place so that my life will not be destroyed by something that God wants to use for good. I'm going to choose to put boundaries in my life today to help me in this area of my life. If that's you, and not everybody has to stand, but if that's how it is, that's fine. But if you're here today and you say, you know what, Pastor Tim, I make a pledge, I make a commitment that I'm going to choose to put some of these boundaries in my life to help me to be more than an overcomer, to be more than a conqueror, to do these things through Jesus Christ and his strength. If you'll make that commitment with me, will you stand up right now with me all across this room? And I just want to pray for you that God would help you. God bless you. Thank you so much. Amen. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, I come to you right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I'm so grateful for your word. Truly, it is a lamp and a light to our lives. Lord, we thank you that you talk to us in your word about real life, about the things that we face in these times. Lord, I pray that God, as we make, as we stand together, making a commitment to you to evaluate our lives, Lord, like David of old, search us, Holy Spirit. See if there's anything in us that is wicked, that we might ask forgiveness, that we might repent. And Lord, put the necessary boundaries in our lives so that, God, we will not be destroyed by the enemy. Lord, I thank you for these men and women, for their heart for you, for their heart to please you. And now, God, I pray you'd give them strength. Holy Spirit, speak to their hearts. Lord, as we make this dedication before you today, may our lives honor the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the one who died for us on Calvary. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. Will you give the Lord praise today as Pastor Wayne comes to close the service?
Somebody say thank you to Pastor Tim. What an excellent job today. Praise the Lord. I want to put one more tool in your hand, and I'll post it later on my Facebook page. There's a curriculum called the Screen Balanced Family, joshuastraub.com. And this is a PhD, a guy who's studying all of this and its effect on families, and some very practical tools, how to just create some balance in your life and in your family's life. So it does cost some money. It's a good investment. I encourage you to check it out. All right. And again, appreciate Ryan and Ashley and Andrew and Anna putting together the resource that you're going to get on your way out today. And don't forget, we're going to be baptizing some folks, so you'll want to stick around and celebrate new life in Jesus Christ with them. Amen. How many are glad you came to church today? Awesome. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. May everything you post be God's will. In Jesus' name, I bless you. Amen. Have a great day. We love you.